Well, good morning, everyone. It's great to be here, and even more wonderful just to hear some of those stories, and we'll talk a little more about them in a moment. It's been a great year, and one of the things that it's wonderful to be part of the staff team is because as the year goes on, we hear these stories. You know, week in, week out, we hear stories of people's lives being touched and life transformation. And we thought when we came to the anniversary, we thought, you know what, we need to tell some of these stories so that people hear these stories of actually tangible life transformation. And part of the story of the journey of this last year has also been our Family Life Center, and Lisa's come to work with it and has taken over. So I just want her to talk a little bit about what's been happening in terms of FLC.
Thank you. So it's been so exciting to be part of the FLC for the last five and a bit months. And there is so much to celebrate and to give thanks to God for. I have just been astounded by God's faithfulness, God's goodness. And as Rob said, he works in such ways that we sometimes can't comprehend, which is amazing. From the impact report, you'll see there are two main projects that the FLC are working on, which are... we just started in January, and the first of those is Heart to Heart, which was the Stirling-based project helping individuals affected by separation and divorce, which has come onto the FLC as a project. And it's been really exciting to get to know the material behind that, the concept behind that project, as we start to think about how we do a big launch for that in autumn. And it's been great because we've been able to do a pilot launch, and we've trained 8 befrienders for young people. We've been able to open our referral system. We've had referrals in. We've started a few befriending courses. And just to meet with people where they're at and be able to give them this support. I was able to meet with a mum this past week even, and she was just so grateful that her young people had someone to speak to outside of her, as they don't have any immediate family, to be supported through the divorce of her children's of her and her partner. And she was just like, where's the support for adults? And it was just such an honor to be able to say, well, actually in the autumn we'll have that group support, we'll be there for you, we'll be able to just walk with you through this. So we're doing that. We're also doing Little Blessings, which is in collaboration with The Haven, which is just a brilliant project, being able to offer really practical help to new mums and their babies, and give them equipment and clothes, and then just to start to build those links and be able to offer them support then through Mums and Tots and through other services that The Haven has, that the church has, that the Family Life Centre has. And the FLC has just been so blessed this year as well by lots of our funding applications have been successful. So God has really blessed us financially, which means we've been able to really press into these projects. And we're hopeful that in the next few weeks we'll be able to appoint a Heart to Heart project supervisor, which means they'll be able to really just focus on that and get that project going full throttle, so that I can then concentrate on other things that are happening in the centre. And I guess I just want to say thanks as well to you as a congregation for your prayers. And there's a lot of people who are involved in the background of the Family Life Centre, in the steering group, in the prayer group, doing funding applications, that actually none of these things would be able to happen without them. And in addition to all of those things, we still have counselling regularly happening. We have 10 separate organisations that use the Family Life Centre as a base, which is really exciting to be able to be part of a hub in Stirling where people can come for support. And then it means if clients need specific support in different areas, it's available for them. They're coming to a familiar place. And there are 3 things I wanted just to reflect on quickly that I was really, just are real top things that I have loved about the last 5 months. And one of them has just been working with the rest of the team, working with Christians Against Poverty, working with The Haven, working with the guys in the church, and being able to get referrals in from them, and being able to just felt like it's really worked really well. And the second is with our play therapy project that has been running for years. It's a great project with Yvonne. I get to see evaluation forms, and I get to read that children's lives have been transformed because we are able to provide that service. And that has just been absolutely phenomenal. And the third thing I have mentioned before, but again, that has been just the support of the church and getting behind that, get behind the different projects. And this is a shameless plug for if anyone would like to get further involved, there is so many opportunities to get involved in the Family Life Centre. You don't have to be a trained counsellor. You don't have to be able to do play therapy. There's lots of things. So come and speak to me afterwards. It'd be lovely to see people get involved and continue to do what they're doing. So thank you very much.
Thanks, Lisa. Thank you so much. You know, I always find it amazing sometimes when I talk to people and they reflect, is anything happening at SBC? Or sometimes when people, I have heard people say, does SBC have vision? I always think that's an interesting one. And I hope that you hear the outworking of the vision and expression of the life of this church. It is brilliant to see lives being affected in real time by the work that's going on in all of our different areas. And I would actually say this year, we haven't totaled it up, but we're probably impacting more people's lives outside of the church in practical ways, in terms of addressing debt, in terms of addressing divorce, in terms of addressing traumatized children, in terms of addressing people in difficult life situations, more than we ever have at any point, certainly maybe since I've been here, certainly maybe in the history of our church, which is a fairly long history. And that is exciting, that as our church gets to this stage in its life, and we've been around for a while, more than 150 years, it actually is still making a difference to people's lives in Stirling. And not that influence is not just decreasing, but it's increasing. You know, at the end of the year, we often have highlights. I like to go around the leadership team and just say, what was your highlight of the year? And one of my highlights was definitely Evelyn's baptism. And that was a brilliant event, because I know that 10 years ago or so, or maybe even longer, I stood up and I challenged the church, and you know, it was a combination of deacons as well sort of challenging and saying, you know, we are a prosperous middle-class church that sits surrounded by a community of 2,500 people called the top of the town, and we make no difference to their lives whatsoever. And we're packed on a Sunday and great things are happening, but what difference are we making to where this church is located? And it was part of our vision to be beyond the walls. And just one thing or another, and things opened up and we got the Haven. And you know, we've now been on a journey with the Haven, with folks like Judy and Rab and now Mylene, trying to impact that community. And let me tell you, it's not been a straight line, and it's not been easy, and there have been lots of setbacks and frustrations and overspends and all sorts of things along the way on that journey. But we have persisted with the vision, and we start to hear the stories, we start to read the letters of people whose lives are being changed by a vision of a church and a community, and hey, Rob, I'm crying. you know, of people's lives being changed by the vision of SBC and saying, yes, we want to be a church beyond the walls. If that hadn't happened 10 years ago and we hadn't persisted through all the things that we persisted through, you would not be hearing the stories that you're hearing today. You know, we've seen a very exciting thing with 63A happen over the last few months. And we now own a ground floor property right next door to the church. And many of us have wanted that for a long time. And it's great to see that. The truth is that 63A is not going to come to fruition next week or next month or even maybe next year. It's going to be a while before we actually see the real potential of 63A. And maybe we're going to have to be a wee bit patient, maybe myself especially, in relation to that. But you know what? The fact that we have seen and purchased 63A and we now own that property means that as we move into the years ahead, SBC's presence and visible presence in our town and the impact and the feeding into the ministries and some of the areas that we've been is only going to increase. You know, it's like, and forgive me, I've always been reticent on these kind of illustrations, but I went on to Burgundy on a holiday, and we visited some vineyards, And I learned while visiting some of the vineyards that you shouldn't always drink really good wines right at the start. That actually part of the joy is buying the bottle. Didn't really understand this before. Buying the bottle and keeping it for like 3 or 4 years under the bed. Or maybe even slightly longer. And then at an appropriate point, bringing it out and savoring the flavor. You know, 63A is saying, we have wine under the bed that this church, as we move forward to, is going to drink. God has good things for us as we move forward. And we've seen an amazing year. And I mean, just to touch on various things, we've seen CAP. And it's so exciting now to hear the stories of people whose lives are being addressed in terms of their poverty. And again, one in three people that CAP work with usually become Christians. I mean, that's amazing. And just being part of that wonderful ministry and now seeing that. And again, that's something that I know people have wanted for years, and we're now seeing it happen. It was brilliant. Another illustration of a dream that became a realization. A few years back, we said, you know, our carol service is good, but we could really make it better. And why don't we take the Albert Halls and have a carol service in the Albert Halls and see if we can get the whole community to come along? We did it last year. It was good. And quite a few folks came along. But this year, it bore fruit. And you couldn't move in this place at Christmas as we proclaimed the knowledge of Jesus Christ into a large, and the number of people who weren't part of our church that was out at that service was amazing. And it was just so exciting to stand up and say, this is what we talked about. This is the vision being realized. I know Lifeway's been around in a ministry for many, many years. But I know that when the originators of that ministry, they had this vision of an inclusivity long before PC happened, before those with learning difficulties were recognized as valuable members of society. That needed to be recognized and held as part of that society. And I mean, we were way out in front in terms of seeing that and believing that as a vision. And strangely enough, we had 2 deaths this year, but it demonstrated the realization of that vision. Well, one of the deaths was a man called William. And William was great. He used to always shake my hand every Sunday morning. He was usually, if nobody else was pleased to see me, William always was. So that was good. And William died, but William was part of one of the most notorious families in the Stirlingshire area, and a lot of his family came along because they're a bit of a clan, and they were there in church, and the things that family were saying about this community, this Christian community, and about Christianity being presented to them was just amazing. I think just before that, another member of Lifeway had died, a guy called Charles, and Charles had no family. But the people who were there were the people of Lifeway in this church because we were his family. You see, a realization of the vision, actually seeing it happen. It was great to have Sean sharing. One of our staff was at an SU training event, and somebody came up and said, oh, you've got Sean working with you, haven't you? And they went, yeah. And they said, Sean came as a youngster to the SU camp I was at, and I have prayed for him every day since he was on my team. You know, I don't know how that long was, but so many years, and here he is now serving in the life of the church. And we don't know what he's going to go on. I'm sure he's going to go on and do great things. But exciting to see the realization of this. And at the start of the year, we began to talk about beauty for ashes, that we could start to see transformation. And as a church, that's what we want to be about. Staff team had been away for 3 days in Glasgow, and on the way back, I thought I would drop into Glasgow Cathedral. I don't think I've ever been to Glasgow Cathedral. All these years, I lived in Glasgow, driven past it 1,000 times. I've never been there. And I went in, and it was great to see this wonderful cathedral and remind ourselves it's the story of St. Mungo. And those that are from Glasgow will know that St. Mungo was seen to bring Christianity to Strathclyde and to Glasgow in particular. And he was the founder of the community that basically grew into the city of Glasgow. This is a modern representation of him, of St. Mungo, on the site of a tenement in Glasgow. But you'll more traditionally have seen this image of Mungo, the patron saint of Glasgow. And right next to the cathedral, there was a museum. And I went into this museum and I thought, because I wanted to learn more about Mungo and his story. And as I went into this museum was wholly focused on multifacism. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm very keen on diversity, and a lot of you will know I have, and work with many people across religious divides. But as I walked around this place, I started to find myself getting angrier and angrier. Anyways, I encountered big statues of Krishna or Buddha. The shop right next to Glasgow Cathedral, the founding Christian monument, one of the founding Christian monuments in Scotland. You know, the section on Buddhism was bigger than anything else in the shop. You know, Zen garden set up. And again, it's good to celebrate diversity, but it just felt like we're celebrating diversity at the point where Christianity was introduced into Glasgow. But worse than that, we are celebrating this and we are eradicating the true story of the past. We are eradicating the history of Christianity in this city. We are eradicating and rewriting the history which was about the voice of Christ going there. And you know what was really sad? Because there was a little video and they had all these different groups speaking and sharing about their faith. Was that the Christian voice was going along with what was happening. And so when we listened to the Christian voice, yeah, it talked about community, it talked about good works, but so did the Muslim, so did the Hindu, so did the Sheikh. Each spoke about their good works and about their community, and we heard all about it. But you know who wasn't mentioned and whose name I could not find on a three-floor museum as I walked around where Christianity was rooted and took root in Glasgow was the name of Jesus. You know, and I sat there and I thought, you know, Mungo brought Christianity here and they have a big statue of John Knox, what you may think of him or not, but he overlooks this museum. And I thought about Mungo and I thought about Knox and I thought, you know, is this really the vision that they had for where Glasgow was to be? Mungo gave Glasgow its motto, and some of you will know this. It was, Lord, let Glasgow flourish by the preaching of your word and by the praise of your name. You know what happened a few years back was they cut the second part of this motto, and it became, let Glasgow flourish. And they failed to recognize the basis on which a city or a town or a community will truly flourish, which is through the preaching of God's word and through the praise of his name. And by eradicating that and by rewriting that and by losing that, we become poverty stricken. You know, as Christians and as a church, my cry to us is that we never lose sight of the transforming power of the Word of God and the worship of God. And that is at the center of what we're about. See, the center of the Christian message, and much as I looked around that museum in the Glasgow Cathedral, I couldn't find it. But I was hoping that somewhere at some point I would see someone talk about sin and the reality of sin and the brokenness of the life that surround us. And believe me, our society is incredibly broken. I don't know if in terms of history we've ever had such broken people in such a broken society. I find it hard. And those of you who are GPs or counselors or interact with people, you'll know the stories and the pain that's out there and the brokenness that's out there. And into the midst of that, what is the world offering? What in the way of transformation is the world offering? I remember I did a counseling diploma once, and I was taught the principle in this diploma, the principal thing the counselor does is they help you live with what you are. And I thought, That's interesting. You know, so you're a sinner, so live with it. You've messed up your life, deal with it. You're in this situation, well, it's your fault, own it. Do you know what? That's not the good news of Jesus Christ. That's not the preaching of God's word. That is not the worship of his name. Because the preaching of his word and the worship of his name says, we are a broken world. Let's not deny that and hide from that. We're not escapists. But we want to talk about forgiveness and restoration and reconciliation. Because we believe that in the name of Jesus, people can be set free from sin. And I mean sin more than just a moral bad choices. I mean sin in terms of the brokenness of our lives. That we can see restoration and healing. You know, the brilliant thing about the stories that we've been hearing, you know, from Evelyn or Sean and from others, you know, it's people who had known brokenness and now are witnessing to the forgiveness and restoring presence of God. What's my vision for the future? What's our vision for the future as we reflect at our anniversary? My vision is that we will have that same zeal that Mungo, when he first came to Glasgow, had. We will have a people who will wake up in the morning and say, Lord, let Stirling flourish. Let Dunblane flourish. Let Callander flourish. Let our towns and our cities and our families, Lord, let them flourish. But let them flourish as we communicate your forgiveness. As we talk about restoration and reconciliation, as we talk about the death and resurrection of Jesus and the transforming power of his spirit that now is at work through us. You know, I loved that line of Evelyn's where Evelyn said to Mylene, it wasn't just Jesus, Mylene, it was you too, you know? And that's brilliant because that's really good theology. Because the transforming power of God happens through us. And my challenge to every single one of us is, let's be part of that. You know, let's be part of the transforming power of God, because it needs all of us to carry that message that you're a sinner, but Christ has died on the cross for your sins so you can be forgiven. So a restoration process can begin in your life. And you can know reconciliation with your heavenly Father and with others. It's the call of this church and the call of the gospel. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that as a people, you would allow us to see the transforming power of Christ work through us. Lord, I pray that just as Mungo prayed, Lord, let this city flourish through the preaching of your word and the praising of your name. Lord, let us pray that for our communities, for the towns that we are part of. Lord, we pray as a church community now celebrating our anniversary, that will be the heartbeat of this church and this community. That we will see Stirling and the communities that we're part of flourishing as we witness to your reality and worship and praise your holy name. We ask this in your name.